Radha Suresh, would you like to chant Gita Dhyana Shlokam today? Hari Om. Radha, would you like to chant Dhyana Shlokam? Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, please.
प्रतिगोपिकां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरननदी कैवर्तककेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलम् गीतासगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेतरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जनषट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजं कलिमलप्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुत सुन्वन्ति दिव्यै स वै वेदै साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः
Hari Om. We'll start the Shiva Manasa Stotram now. Ratnai Kalpitamasanam Himajalaihi
स्नानं च दिव्यांबरं नानारत्न विभूषितं मृगमदा मोदांकितं चंदनं जाती चंपक बिल्वपत्र रचितं पुष्पं च धूपं तथा दीपं देवदयानिधे पशुपते हृत्कल्पितं गृह्यतां सौवर्णेन वरत्नखण्डरचिते पात्रे घृतं पायसं भक्ष्यं पञ्चविधं पयोदधियुतं रम्भाफलं पानकं शाकानामयुतं जलं रुचिकरं कर्पूरखण्डोज्ज्वलं ताम्बूलं मनसा मया विरचितं भक्त्या प्रभो स्वीकुरु छत्रं चामरयोर्युगं व्यजनकं चादर्शकं निर्मलं वीणाभेरिमृदङ्गकाहलकला गीतं च नृत्यं तथा साष्टाङ्गं प्रणतिस्तुतिर्बहुविधा हे तत्समस्तं मया संकल्पेन समर्पितं तव विभो पूजां गृहाण प्रभो आत्मा त्वं गिरिजामतिः सहचराः प्राणशरीरं गृहं पूजाते विषयोपभोगरचना निद्रा समाधिस्थितिः सञ्चारपदयो प्रदक्षिण विधिः स्तोत्राणि सर्वा गिरः यद्यत् कर्म करोमि तत्तदखिलं शम्भो तवाराधनम् करचरणकृतं वा कायजं कर्मजं वा श्रवणनयनजं वा मानसं वापराधम् विहितमविहितं वा सर्वमेतत् क्षमस्व जय जय करुणाभ्ये श्रीमहादेव शम्भो सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ परं वरिष्ठं ब्रह्मिष्टं परमानन्दरूपिणं परमार्थनन्दयतिं सद्गुरुं प्रणतोऽस्म्यहम् So we had a break for 2 weeks, so let me just quickly bring you all up to speed so that, you know, we don't miss out on today's teaching, especially considering that we are towards the end of the sixth chapter. in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches basically three main kinds of yogas, right? In a very common language, Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga, right? Some of them do combine Upasana Yoga also with Karma Yoga because it is a form of a mental karma only. But broadly, Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Of these, Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga are meant to purify the mind and prepare it for entering Jnana Yoga. So we call it Jnana Yogyata Praptihi. So the word Yogyata means fitness or preparation. Now throughout the Gita, Lord Krishna talks about Karma Yoga, emphasizing Pancha Maha Yajnaha, which we should perform with commitment, right? Now along with that, Upasana Yoga also Lord Krishna highlighted in and through the Gita, and varieties of meditations, Manasa Puja, Manasa Japam, Manasa Parayanam, Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam, all these come under varieties of meditations. So in Karma Yoga, mind and body are involved. In Upasana Yoga, mind alone is involved. Both of them prepare the mind, and with the prepared mind, one is to come to Jnana Yoga, which is the central message of the Gita. So, as in my Guru's words, without Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga, Jnana Yoga is not possible. And without Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga are incomplete. Right? We have to understand this very clearly. Therefore, everyone has to go through all these three yogas, and Lord Krishna highlights Jnana Yoga, which is the central theme of the Gita. So, throughout in every chapter, we will have Jnana Yoga also touched upon, right? And what is the central message? Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. The essential oneness of the individual self and the universal self, even though they appear different superficially. So therefore, Lord Krishna will repeatedly talk about Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam, right? So whenever he gets an opportunity, in every chapter he will bring it up, right? So in verses 29 to 32 that we completed, he talked about, Lord Krishna talked about self-realization and God-realization, and he says, whoever has self-realization has got God-realization. So from this, what he is meaning is a normal equation, like a mathematical equation. You cancel realization on both sides, you will get self is equal to God, right? So self is God and I, the original self, which is the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness consciousness, right? So the same principle is in God and in me, the all-pervading consciousness, right? So this 29th and 30th together verses revealed Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. And whenever Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is revealed, that sentence is known as Mahavakyam. Right? In Upanishad you see a lot of Mahavakyam. In Gita also you see Mahavakyams in between. Right? So Tatatvam Asi is a Mahavakyam which occurs in Chandogya Upanishad. Aham Brahmasmi is another Mahavakyam, right? I am Atma Brahma is, or Brahman is also another Mahavakyam, right? From different Vedas, okay? So Lord Krishna is now talking about it in his own language, and he says, Arjuna, may you have Sarvatra Ishvara Darshanam, he said, right? To see God, you need not close your eyes, right? Exactly like the water and ocean example, right? Now, this is the wave. The wave is a small wave in the ocean. If the wave thinks, I am a small wave, I am born now and I am going to perish, right? That is the smallness thinking of the wave. Suppose the wave is essentially thinking that I am water, right? And I am no different from the big ocean. Essentially, the same water is behind the wave and behind the ocean, right? Then, like Sarvatra Ishwara Darshanam, it is Sarvatra Jala Darshanam, right? So, to realize the water, the wave does not have to close the eyes or do anything special. Just that knowledge will be enough. So, So similarly for Arjuna also, Krishna says Sarvatra Ishvara Darshanam, right? And we also saw that there's a very important message that Krishna gave is, when you see Atma, essentially the same Atma in yourself, in everyone else and the God, your empathy and compassion towards others increase, right? So very important lesson that we saw there. Right? And with this and the previous 32nd shloka, Lord Krishna had completed what? The fourth topic, right? Do you remember what four topics we completed? We completed Bahiranga Sadhanani, we completed Antaranga Sadhanani, that is the general preparations, the specific preparation. Then we also saw Dhyana Swarupam, the actual process of meditation, and then we saw Dhyana Phalam, the benefit of meditation, right? And several benefits were mentioned, and the most important benefit, as I said, was we become more and more kind, less and less hurtful, and we become more and more considerate and less selfish. This is the benefit of dhyana, right? So Lord Krishna has concluded his teaching, right? Now Arjuna is raising a question, presenting a problem which belongs to all the Vedantic students. Very, that way Gita is so beautiful that it thinks about exactly whatever question you will have, Arjuna will ask actually. Right? So Vedantic students are classified into three categories. Okay? This is for ease of understanding, right? Swamiji has put it across this way. So the three categories are what Swamiji calls them: Manda Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari, right? Three categories, right? The inferior one, the middle one and superior one, depending on the preparatory sadhanas that one has practiced. What are the preparatory sadhanas? Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga. So those students who have not practiced either of them, right? They belong to the Manda Adhikari category, right? And who will be Uttama? Those who have practiced both of them, right? And to a considerable extent, they are called Uttama Adhikari. So they are the two ends of the spectrum. So who is Madhyama? Somebody in between, right? This whole spectrum. The percentage will vary. That's the only thing, right? You are neither Uttama nor Manda, means you are somewhere in between, right? So those who have done only say Karma Yoga, and not done Upasana Yoga, or has done, it is very difficult to do Upasana Yoga without Karma Yoga. It's extremely difficult, right? But some percentage is missing in both of them, right? So how does it affect the study process? Okay, very interesting. Now all the three kinds of students will listen to the teaching from a guru. Okay, now let us imagine that all the three learn from a guru. In the case of Manda Adhikari, the teaching is not received at all. Reception of the teaching itself does not take place. Therefore, Jnanam does not enter. So as Swamiji says, it just bumps and goes back, or it just goes through the ears out. Doesn't register at all, right? In the case of Manda Adhikari, there is no reception of knowledge itself. So where is the question of retaining the knowledge, right? So what happens? The class itself will become a Karma Yoga. Attending the class itself will become Karma Yoga. Why? Because it is part of Pancha Maha Yajna. Brahma Yajna, Deva Yajna, all of them are part of Pancha Maha Yajna. So attending Gita class will become one of the Pancha Maha Yajnas. Therefore it becomes a Karma Yoga, right? So it will not help in receiving the central message. What is that? Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. Neither reception nor retention. Okay? This is the story of the Manda Adhikari. Now what is the status of Uttama Adhikari? Because he has gone through both Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga, his mind is like a sponge absorbing water. Okay? Therefore, in that case, knowledge is received, not only received, but the reception takes place in such a way that it stays. So this is the case of the Uttama Adhikari, right? So Manda Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. Now what happens to Madhyama Adhikari, right? So the Madhyama Adhikari receives the teaching. Okay, he will understand well. They will say teaching is very clear. Okay, I am able to understand. Atma is the consciousness principle, not part, product, property of a body. Essentially, Atma is the same in every body. Everything is so clear. I can also teach others, right? But there is a problem. Reception takes place, but the moment the class is over, right? As Swamiji says, the moment the chappal is on, the teaching is gone, right? So he always says that. Because we are able to concentrate in the class, we are able to understand, but something is lacking there, right? So, and not only that, Swamiji jokingly tells, I believe the family members also start mocking, right? You went to Gita class, what happened? No transformation has happened. What? Who's this Swamiji? So Swamiji says, not only you all have a problem, I have a problem, because they say, which Swamiji is teaching you this? There is no transformation in you, right? So somewhere in between, you are in between Manda Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari. So Arjuna now has a problem, right? So Arjuna says, oh Lord Krishna, I am the intermediary variety. Okay, he says that. I understand, but it does not remain. So tell me, what should I do? This is Arjuna's question. Reflects almost anybody who attends the classes, they will have this doubt, right? So very interesting question. So what happens? Let's see. Arjuna vacha, vacha, yoyam yogastvaya proktah, yoyam yogastvaya proktah. Samena Madhusudana, Samena Madhusudana, Etasyaham na Pashyami, Etasyaham na Pashyami, Chanchalatvastitim Sthiram, Chanchalatvastitim Sthiram. So, in fact, I introduced this question in the last class. So Arjuna said, I am able to receive the teaching. That means I am not Manda Adhikari, right? I am a Madhyama Adhikari, right? So I have written notes. I can even share with people, right? My problem is not in reception, but my problem is in retention, right? Very, very important. So he says, the teaching goes away and therefore my behavior during worldly transactions has not been transformed much, right? Therefore, there seems to be no difference between me, a Gita student, and other people who are non-student. Student and non-student. There does not seem to be much difference at all. So, where is the deficiency? What should I do so that the teaching will be there in me, right? And it will percolate into my personality, right? I will digest the teaching and so that there is enough transformation in my personality, and others should ask me, what is the cause of your change? Who is your guru? Who has brought about this change, right? And as Swamiji says, the family members should ask, how did you transform yourself, right? And you should all tell that I am the cause, he used to say. Then that is when I feel happy. Swamiji says that, right? But all these don't seem to happen. Arjuna is worried, right? Hey Krishna. And Arjuna seems to have diagnosed the problem correctly, right? So Arjuna seems to be an informed person, and therefore he says, the problem is that my mind is a restless one. My mind is highly restless, and therefore in the class perhaps because of the atmosphere, right, I am able to absorb, right? And when Guru is talking and there is a screen in front of you and you are focusing, there is captive attention. Therefore, my mind is quiet during the class because of the atmosphere, right? The minute that is over, my mind is a scatterbrain. It starts going everywhere and it is restless and the teaching also gets scattered. So the problem is with my mind. And in Tattva Bodha language, what is it called? Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi, right? We saw four virtues, right? Viveka, knowing that spiritual goal is superior to all other non-spiritual goals. Then Vairagyam. Arjuna says, I have Viveka. I know that this goal is important. Vairagyam. And I consider non-spiritual goal is inferior compared to spiritual goal, right? And I do have some amount of detachment also. Not too much, but okay, right? But my problem seems to be Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi, meaning a quiet and focused mind, right? A well-managed, disciplined mind. I think my mind is lacking in that respect and therefore I am not able to retain. Hey Krishna, tell me how to solve this problem, right? This is Arjuna's question to Lord Krishna. Hey Madhusudana, right? What is his name, Madhusudana? His name of Krishna, who destroyed the Rakshasa called Madhu, right? So, hey Krishna, Yogaha, here means second, Atma Jnanam, which we saw in the second chapter, right? We saw about the seven descriptions, Atma, Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Satyaha, right? Nirvikaraha, etc. So, and again in third, fourth and fifth chapter also, we talked about it. So, that is Atma Jnanam. Samyena, as Atma, right? I am the same in everyone. Samyam means samatvam. Body is not samaha, right? It is not the same. Body is not the same across people, right? Mind is not the same, right? We call it vishamaha. Vishamaha means it is different, right? Mind is different. Other things are all different, but Atma is the same behind every jiva, right? So, this is actually Jivan Mukti, seeing Atma in everybody, right? So, Arjuna says, I have received it. It is in my mind, the teaching. But what is the problem? Etasya sthiram sthitim na pashyami. The teaching has entered my mind, but it does not stay in my mind permanently. Sthitihi means continuously. Sthiram means staying steadily, right? In my day-to-day life, it is not staying steadily. And the teaching must be available all the time to give me a calmness of the mind. Only then the benefit will come. So, etasya means yogasya. Basically, atma darshanasya. Right? It is not staying sthiram, steady and continuously. Aham na pashyami. I am not seeing it stay that way. I don't see my behavior different. I am as bitter as before, right? In some cases, it is even worse, right? Because why? Due to arrogance, right? Because I am learning also now. Additionally, due to that arrogance also, we feel that, right? So, therefore, Arjuna says, I am not able to retain. He gives the reason also. What is the reason? Chanchalatvat. Because my mind is a very, very wavering mind, right? Restless mind. Therefore, I have a problem, right? O Krishna, because of restlessness, I don't see the steady existence of this Atma Jnanam, which was imparted by you as the sameness, basically the same Atma across all the Jivas and Paramatma, right? Continuing, chanchalam hi manak Krishna, chanchalam hi manak Krishna, pramathik balavadridam, pramathik balavadridam, tasyaham nigraham manye, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayorivasudushkaram. Vayorivasudushkaram. Hey Krishna, Arjuna is desperate, right? He is expressing his helplessness near, right? Hey Krishna, manaha, the mind, right, of me as well as all other madhyama adhikaris who know that spiritual goal is primary, they have come to the scriptures, still their mind is not steady. Therefore, he says, my mind is suffering from four types of problems, right? Chanchalam, you can understand, highly restless or wandering, right? That is problem number one. Then Pramati means not only is the mind unsteady and turbulent, the powerful turbulence of the mind is transferred to the other layers of the personality because they are all closely associated, right? Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, everything, right? So the powerful turbulence of the mind makes the other layers of personality like the sense organ also become restless, right? Many people can't even have eye contact when they have a conversation, right? You can see them, the restless people, right? They will keep on, you know, you can see that their eyes are also not, you know, focusing and talking when they are talking to you, right? And they are roaming around all this time. Some people keep on walking up and down, right? So, the turbulence of the mind is transferred to Pancha Jnanendriyani. Sometimes even to the prana, the breathing and everything is fast, and Pancha Karmendriyani also sometimes, right? So, from Jnanendriyani to Karmendriyani, like hands, legs and all start shivering and then they start wandering, walking up and down, etc. That's why when you are disturbed and when you are thinking of something very seriously, you tend to pace up and down, right? Because from the mind it has now come to the Karmendriyani also, right? Now because of that, the mind will not allow the physical body to remain stationary, right? So mind is powerful, Jnanendriyam, Karmendriyam, Panchaprana all put together, right? So it will churn the body, that is Pramati, right? Then Balavat, it is extremely powerful, right? Even though the intellect decides many things and the mind is expected to implement, right? Normally, intellect is supposed to be more powerful, right? According to Vedanta. Why? Because beyond Manomaya Kosha is Vijnanamaya Kosha, right? So, it is definitely superior to the emotional mind. I take several resolves, right? Like New Year resolution, etc. Right? But how long am I able to keep up to it? Anything that I take with a commitment, right? So, people find it so easy to give up on things, but to continue, right, and to stay committed to something is very, very difficult, right? There's many things I decide, but my mind refuses to implement. Therefore, Balavat means powerful and Dridam means what? It is extremely firm when it is stuck in a particular field of thinking. Once the mind is set on a particular person, or it is set on a particular object or on a particular event, right? Maybe today in the office, we had an argument with somebody. If for several hours after you go back and you are with the family, you are eating or you are gone out, your mind is still thinking about the same thing. It is firmly established in that. It doesn't get firmly established when we are meditating. But at such times, it goes and gets firmly attached, right? So, any argument that we have, it keeps on pulling, right, our mind, right? So, once it holds, it will not leave us at all, right? So, in fact, in Tamil, there is a udumbu pidi, they say, right? So, it's like, it holds on so strongly. Balavat is the mind. Dridam refers to, it's holding on like, you know, as a fevicol has been used to make it stick or something, powerful, right? So, I keep saying don't worry, but exactly the opposite the mind will keep doing, right? So, tasyaham nigraham means what? It's discipline, management or discipline. We are not talking about the suppression of the mind, right? Suppression of the mind is dangerous. We are not talking about suppression, but we are talking about disciplining the mind. That is nigraham. I find it extremely difficult. Dushkaram. So, dushkaram means extremely difficult, right? And that is what, like what? Vayu means the wind. Why does Arjuna compare this to the mind? Because it is a non-tangible substance. Wind, Vayu is a non-tangible substance, right? So therefore, he compares it Vayoho Iva, right? It is like Vayu, right? Now you can put a helmet and stop the head and everything, but you cannot stop the mind. You cannot stop the thoughts from going, right? Very, very important. So mind can never be restrained by four walls like the wind, right? Therefore, in fact, Shankaracharya says, right, Eva is not correct. Vayoho api, he says, like, just like Vayo, like Vayu, you should not say wind. He says it should be, you should say that like Vayu, it does not, mind is not restrained. Vayu goes out through all direction, right? So, but he says wind can even be stopped using what? Walls or something. But you cannot stop the mind even with such, restraints that you use for restraining the Vayu, right? So, now, so look at Shankaracharya's such a rapt observation. He says even you can compare it with the mind, but you know, even the, you can compare it with the wind, but you cannot say that it is like the wind, because wind can be restrained, but mind cannot be, right? Very important. So, O Krishna, this mind is indeed fickle, turbulent, powerful, and firm. Firm in the wrong sense, right? It gets attached to something that is not supposed to get attached. So, I consider its restraint to be very difficult than that of even the wind, right? Here it is compared to the wind, right? But it is worse than the wind in reality, right?
Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, Asamshayam Mahabaho, Manodurnigraham Chalam, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya, Vairagena cha Grihyate.
So, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Lord replies, the first thing Lord Krishna does is, he validates Arjuna's statement, right? He says, what you say about the mind is perfectly correct. And I shall tell you, it is not the problem of your mind only, it is the problem of all the minds. Therefore, note, you are not alone, it is a universal problem, right? There is, why immediately he says it's a universal problem? So, Swamiji nicely talks about this. He says, whenever the power goes, power supply goes in the house, you look at the neighbor's house. If the neighbor's house power supply is gone, you feel relaxed. This is the human tendency. So, he says, if I say it's a universal problem, then Arjuna is also relaxed. So, Krishna knows that psychology. So, he first said, yes, it's a universal problem, right? So, very, very, very smart kind of, you know, example to give. It's a universal problem, right? So, look at the neighbor also, like Swamiji says, right? It is everybody's problem. So, Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, during meditation, not only your mind is wandering, all the people's mind are also wandering, right? The only blessing is, your mind wandering, your neighbor doesn't know. And your neighbor's mind wandering, you don't know. Mind is not visible. It is very difficult for even a guru to find out. So, guru says, Swamiji says, you all are here and I am trying some practice meditation. I am thinking you are all here, that's all. What else can I do? I can only hope, because I cannot find out, right? So, very important. Because mind is not visible, right? So, he says, hey Mahabaho Arjuna, Asamshayam, your statement is doubtlessly true, right? Which is the statement, Manaha Chanchalam, mind is chanchalam, fickle or restless, Durnigraham, very, very difficult to discipline, right? But note that it is extremely difficult, it is not impossible, right? So, that is a very different kind of commitment that Lord Krishna is giving, saying that it is difficult, but it is not impossible. You can do it, right? It requires consistent and long effort. It requires commitment. A casual approach will never work, and the approach must be sincere and serious. If you are sincere and serious and ready to work for days, weeks, months and years with a diary in hand, first identifying the problems of the mind and locating what is the top problem and deciding to handle that, and regularly watching whether there is a progress, just as the doctors watch, you know, the progress by taking blood samples, etc. Are you prepared to be committed and watch and make corrections, right? Regular, right, monitoring is absolutely important to check whether there is progress. If you say, I will not do such things, let it come or go, right, then that is your attitude towards spirituality is casual. So therefore, Lord Krishna says, he gives two methods to handle the mind. The first method he calls abhyasaha, long practice. Abhyasaha means long practice to discipline the mind, right? In Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna talks about two types of victories. One type of victory is loka jayaha, victory in the worldly field, in business, etc., right? And that is the external success. I have 5 houses, 6 houses, etc. And the other one is manojayaha, right? Loka jayaha and manojayaha. If you are a serious seeker, your priority must be manojayaha compared to loka jayaha. It must be subservient, right? So, becoming, say, a millionaire or a billionaire may be great, but compared to that manojaya, right? Is it worthwhile? Your priority. It is your priority, right? This I should know and I should be ready to commit myself. This is called abhyasaha. So, abhyasaha for manojayaha and vairagyam, right? Vairagyam with respect to lokajayaha. That means, this spiritual accomplishment is more important or is of highest importance or priority for me as compared to material successes or accomplishments, right? So, this should be very, very clear, and that is vairagyam, right? Right? During spiritual sadhana, then I will be able to bring my mind from the worldly pursuit. I am not obsessed with them, right? Because they are secondary or subservient, then I am not obsessed with anything worldly. Then only I can bring my mind to Shravanam or Mananam or Nididhyasanam, right? So, that is vairagyam with respect to material accomplishments. Therefore, abhyasena vairagyena cha grihyate, right? And what is that abhyasa? Lord Krishna will tell in the following verse, right? He is going to talk about it. Now, but just briefly, in verse 36, Lord Krishna is emphasizing the in the third class of chapter 6, we saw Ashtanga Yoga. I am just reminding you about it. Just one second. I think I lost the connection briefly. Okay. I think people can hear me because I saw a message saying I'd lost the connection. Okay. Fine. I think I'm all right. So, we saw these disciplines of Ashtanga Yoga, right? We saw this in the third class in case you want to revise it, right? We saw 5 moral values as part of Yamaha, right? Ahimsa, which is non-violence. Satyam, which is truthfulness or integrity. Asteyam, not possessing anything not belonging to me legitimately. Then Brahmacharyam, discipline with regard to sexual morality. And finally, aparigraham, not amassing wealth or any possession. Then we saw niyama, which related to contentment, santosha, tapas, discipline, swadhyaya, scriptural studies, ishvara pranidhana, devotion to God, right? And we saw all of this. And then we looked at asana, right? Pranayama and pratyahara, right? And I said the first five steps are collectively referred to as, the first four steps are collectively referred to as hatha yoga, right? Pranayama is regulated breathing. Pratyahara is actually, one second. Pratyahara means withdrawal of sense organs at will, right? That is pratyahara. Tattva Bodha uses the word dhamaha for this, right? So, now when pratyahara is at the sense organ level, if you see, as part of Raja Yoga, we saw pratyahara, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, right? Dharana is at the mental level, right? And if you see, asana is for disciplining the annamaya kosha. Then you have pratyahara, which takes care of the sense organs. Pranamaya kosha is taken care of by pranayama. And then now dharana, right? Dharana is for the withdrawal and focusing on the field of meditation, right? And then dhyanam is retaining the thought for a particular length of time. And then when the tug of war is over, the field of samadhi, finally, right? So, the last four are referred to collectively as Raja Yoga. We saw this in detail. You can go back and see those slides also. Now, here when Krishna is referring to Abhyasa, he is referring to a prerequisite for meditation, which is Ashtanga Yoga, right? So, in Ashtanga Yoga, the last three steps, that is Dharana, Dhyanam and Samadhi, basically, right? 6, 7 and 8 are referred to as Dhyana Yoga or Atma Sanyama Yoga by Krishna, right? So, very, very important points here, because now Krishna is saying Abhyasa means this. And then, after you practice yoga and are able to sit in a place for some time and even out your breathing and start focusing, then we also discussed the four types of, actually five, but I talked about four types of meditation for as a preparation, like relaxation meditation, concentration meditation, expansion meditation and value meditation. Because the fifth type of meditation is Vedantic meditation or Nididhyasana, right? Which is being one with the teaching, Aham Brahmasmi. First you should go through Shravanam, Mananam, then when the assimilation happens and then you are able to meditate, that is Vedantic meditation, right? So we'll continue with verse 36 now, where Lord Krishna is going to emphasize the importance of mental discipline. Asamyatatmana yogah, asamyatatmana yogah, dushprapaiti me matihi, dushprapaiti me matihi, vashyatmana tu yatata, vashyatmana tu yatata, shakyo vaptu mupayatah, shakyo vaptu mupayatah. Here, Lord Krishna is speaking about the importance of mental discipline, right? Without practicing mental discipline, any amount of mechanical practice of religious rituals will not help. That is the important point here, right? You may be doing puja, parayanam, right? For, you can do Sundarakanda parayanam. You can, you know, have puja during Navaratri. You can do various yajnas, homams, all of this, right? But without mental discipline, right? The physical rituals is not going to help us in this pursuit. In this pursuit. I'm not saying it will not contribute to Karma Yoga or Pancha Mahayajna. It will not contribute to this pursuit, which is our Dhyana Yoga pursuit, right? And why Dhyana Yoga? Because we want to assimilate the teaching. And go in for Vedantic meditation and be one with the Atma, right? And realize that the essential nature of everything around me is Atma, right? So, for instance, the rituals have been prescribed for doing everything regularly, for karma yoga, all of them, right? But without mental refinement and discipline, the rituals will become empty. It does not mean we should drop the rituals. What we mean is we should utilize it for internal growth also. So Lord Krishna says, asamyat atmana. Now this is something actually I have experienced and I thought I should, share this with you. Before my journey with the Vedantic study started, I never knew this aspect of puja, right? Because you only see people doing rituals the regular way, chanting, running around, and you're so busy from the time you get up till you complete everything, send them, you don't sit and relax. And once we started attending Swamiji's Shivaratri Puja and the New Year Puja, that is when I realized that this puja itself can be done in such a calm, composed way, right? And no rush, nobody will rush for Deeparadhana, nobody will rush for offering flowers, nothing. All the chanting, all the puja will happen normally, and you can just sit and meditate or chant. You will see different students in different states. Some of them will just close their eyes and meditate. Some of them will be chanting, right? But all of them will be seated quietly for the entire 2 hour, 2.5 hour period, which includes the puja, the parayanam, the namavali and the lecture thereafter. So you realize that the same puja can be performed in a different way, which seems to have a soothing and a calming effect on the person in terms of the thoughts and in the mind. And you come back feeling very nice about it, right? So it is important to have that shift, right? And Krishna says, asamyat atmana. If a person has not disciplined the mind, even if he is a highly religious person, getting up early in the morning and doing all those things, he might practice throughout the life. It is wonderful compared to others who don't even do that, right? But don't blindly, mechanically go through the physical motion. More than the physical body, Lord Krishna is asking us, to what extent is your sukshma shariram with you? Is your sukshma shariram, your mind, is it disciplined, right? If not, Vedanta will not give much benefit. So, asamyat atmana means, atma here mind means the undisciplined mind, right? By a person who has not disciplined the mind, yogaha dushprapaha, right? So spiritual growth and spiritual success is very difficult to attain. Iti me matihi. This is my verdict. Okay. On the other hand, vashyatma, a person who has vashyatma, basically, right? Vashyatma, a person who monitors his mental biography, right? Who watches his mind and thought patterns and tries to define it, direct it properly, who's called Vashyatma, right? Vashyatmana, who knows how to manage the thoughts, right? When an unhealthy thought comes, arrival of an unhealthy thought is not a sin, but allowing it to continue is the problem, right? In the subconscious mind, right? So, sometimes these thoughts arrive from either our subconscious or Purva Janma also. Let it come, no harm. Scripture says, watch, be aware and nip it in the bud. Basically, you have to live a more mentally aware life to start with, right? Start watching the thought patterns, what is happening, etc., right? And who practices, right? Shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam only with a disciplined mind, right? Avaptum shakyaha. For such a person, spiritual growth and spiritual success can be attained, right? So, Sri Krishna is very clearly saying that only with mental discipline will you be able to gain from this spiritual knowledge. So, Dhyana Yoga is difficult to be attained by one with unrestrained mind, but it can be attained by the self-controlled who strives through proper means. Right? This is my firm view. Right? Very clear from Krishna.
Arjuna uvacha, ayati shraddayo petah, yogachalita manasah, aprapya yoga samsiddhim, kamgatim krishna gacchati, kamgatim krishna gacchati.
So, Lord Krishna's answer should have given confidence to Arjuna. But unfortunately, after hearing Lord Krishna's answer, instead of becoming confident, Arjuna becomes diffident and pessimistic. Because Krishna's answer was spiritual knowledge, reception as well as retention and assimilation requires a disciplined mind. Because knowledge is to be received by the mind only. Therefore, moksha depends upon knowledge and knowledge depends upon mental discipline. And Lord Krishna said mental discipline requires long, sincere, serious practice. When this much was said, Arjuna thinks, I don't think I will be able to accomplish this task because looking at my mind, how wayward it is, how disobedient it is, I don't think I will be able to make it. Right? And the other problem is generally many people come to Vedanta when late in life. Right? I can tell you, even now, I keep thinking I'm young. You know why? Because for the last 15 years, some lot of people have discouraged me from going to Vedanta classes. They will tell, oh, that's for after 60, after 65. Now also they continue to tell me, why are you going for all these classes and teaching all this? It's all after 60, after 70. So this is the mindset. While actually Gita is such a practical knowledge that you should be using in your midlife, your mid-career, right? Which is very useful for us to handle stress and look at problems in our organization, profession, family, etc. with a different perspective. It helps us, right? But people will always say that. So as Krishna says, so here it's not surprising, right? So maybe Arjuna is also thinking on behalf of the people at large. So many people will come only after 60 years, right? So they're already very tired, then physically not possible. So mentally also more baggage. So even more difficult to control the mind, right? So therefore this confusion is there. Then they also are very busy, right? They have grandchildren. Then they have to retire. And then after all this, they were wondering whether they will have any time left for mental discipline, etc. Right? So even though Lord Krishna was saying that you can do it and he promises his support, right? And Lord Krishna continuously says this, even in the 18th chapter, he says, you will be able to succeed. You start, I am there to give you the push. He keeps on promising, right? And here, it is Bhagavan himself and Arjuna is right under the nose of Bhagavan. But in spite of Bhagavan's presence, Arjuna became totally diffident. And what to talk of other people, right? Generally, all Vedantic students face this self-diffidence. So therefore, Arjuna has decided that he is not going to succeed in this Janma. He has decided. So, he says why? He says, I don't think I will be able to get sadhana chatushtaya sampatti itself. So where is the question of moksha, right? So, in fact, I believe Swamiji says there was a senior student of his who after 2 decades, right, he came and met Swamiji and said, now everything is clear. So he was so happy, okay. Then he said, I lost. Immediately after that, he said that for 20 years I have attended and now I know something very clearly. What is that? My goal in life before dying is to get sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. So you can imagine how bad Swamiji would have felt, right? Being a jnani himself, I'm sure he must be feeling, right, that more students should get moksha, right? And then this person after 20 years is saying, I think I will manage to get sadhana chatushtiya sampatti by my life end, right? So this is the case of most students, right? It is very natural. So when Lord Krishna could not give confidence to Arjuna, right? Now, obviously at this point in time, obviously the general people also are thinking that way only. So now Arjuna is asking the next question. He has decided what? In this janma, right? No jnanam, no moksha. He has decided. If I don't get jnanam and moksha in this janma, certainly what is going to happen beyond that, I am going to have one more janma because I am not going to get moksha in this janma. So now the worry is what type of janma will I have next? Because I don't know what all karmas are there, right? According to the law of karma, we've got bundles of karma. What karma? Sanchita karma. And they are going to fructify. And one portion of it is going to become prarabdha karma. And what kind of a janma will it give for me? This janma, I am not able to get sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. I am not able to get jnanam. I can't get moksha. So, which proves that I will have one more janma. How do I know what portion of my sanchita karma or what type of it is going to get converted to prarabdha karma and what kind of janma am I going to have, right? All these efforts I have put in this janma, right? Coming to class every Sunday, right? All of them will go to waste. What will happen after my death? Not only Arjuna is worried, right? Other grihasthas are also worried, and Arjuna is worried for the grihasthas, but he is more worried about whom? A sannyasi who dies without jnanam. Right? Why? Because both are equally important. Grihastha dying without jnanam in spite of attending classes. Another worry is the sannyasi who dies without jnanam. Even though they have taken to sannyasa and they have gone to Gurukulam and they have studied the scriptures, they don't get jnanam and moksha. What will happen to such spiritual failures? Why? Because they don't even have other karma. They can't do yajna and gain punyam and all that. Right? Because sannyasis have renounced all the rituals. Right? So, now, carefully we have to note, he is using the word spiritual failure. Right? So, spiritual failure is the name of a person who sincerely attempted but could not succeed. Right? Who sincerely attempted but could not succeed. Such a person in Gita is referred as Yoga Brashta. Okay, Yoga Brashta. So from 37th verse up to the end of this chapter or up to the penultimate verse, that is the 45th verse, right, we have the topic of Yoga Brashta. Yoga Brashta means a spiritual failure. In spite of sincere attempt, what will happen to him or her, right? So Arjuna is asking. This is ayati shraddhayopetaha yogaschalita manasaha. This is the description of such a unfortunate person. The one who could not put sufficient effort to succeed. A person of incomplete effort, right? Ayatihi means a person of incomplete effort. Not because of laziness. A person who is very, very sincere and he did all his best also, right? Even though he put the best of his effort, because of so many obstacles beyond his control, even though he was sincere or she was sincere, there were some prarabdha generated obstacles, maybe health reason or maybe a family commitment or his guru passed away, anything can happen, right? So suppose any of these happens, right? Faith is there, but effort could not be completed, right? His mind slipped from Atma Yoga, right? So, he was such a sincere seeker, like Jadabharata. You must have heard the story of Jadabharata, right? I'm not going to tell you the story. You might want to Google it. Basically, he was last minute because of the deer. He got attached and he could not gets moksha, right? So in Bhagavatam, there is a description of this story, Jadabharata story, right? Very, very important, right? So in spite of a sincere effort, because of having got caught in this kind of an attachment, right, he could not attain moksha, right? He could not attain yoga phalam, yoga samsiddhim aprapya, right? Kam gatim gachati Krishna, what will happen to such a person, right? First, this is a general question. And now, if that person is also like Jadabharata, who is a sannyasi, what happens, right? His condition is still worse. And what is his condition? That is what is going to be described in the 38th verse, right?
Kaschinno bhaya vibrashtah, kaschinno bhaya vibrashtah, chinna brahmiva nashyati, chinna brahmiva nashyati, apratishto mahabaho, apratishto mahabaho, vimudo brahmanapati, vimudo brahmanapati.
Right? So, we are going to be seeing Arjuna actually describing the condition of the Grihastha Yoga Brashta and Sannyasi Yoga Brashta. So according to Arjuna, I'll just take a couple of minutes and complete this verse alone. According to Arjuna, a Grihastha Yoga Brashta is slightly better off. Because he's a Grihastha, he is performing certain karmas and he may come to Shravanam, Mananam, practice Nididhyasanam also. But being a Grihastha, he's a householder, he's got several other duties also, right? Religious duties. This means he will be doing Sandhya Vandanam, regular puja, etc. So Arjuna feels that even if that Grihastha does not get moksha, he has followed a religious life, it will give him sufficient punyam and that punyam will save the Grihastha. But in the case of sannyasi, the situation is different because a sannyasi cannot perform any of the religious rites. No Sandhya Vandanam, etc. He removes the sacred thread when he takes sannyasi, right? Sannyasam. So, thereafter there are no religious duties. So, Arjuna feels because of that there is no punyam also to save him. He will not get jnanam and he will not, he's, like in a grahastha, he doesn't have any punyam also, right? He cannot do pancha mahayajnas also. This is Arjuna's worry. Therefore, he asks, Ubaya vibrashtaha bhavati kashchit, which means, will he not lose both? What both? Religious activities, punyam, and jnanam also. Because he will become a failure. Jnana phalam api nasti, karma phalam api nasti. Both he will not get, right? So, this is his concern, right? Arjuna's concern, right? And what is left only? Hell, right? Apratishto means without the backup of punyam. Here pratishta refers to punyam born out of karma, right? And brahmanaha pati vimudaha means confused and he is strayed away, right? So, since he is apratishta and vimudaha, he comes under what category? He is neither got punyam nor has he attained jnanam. He will be like Trishanku. You must have heard about the famous story of Trishanku. Neither in heaven, right? Because Vishwamitra pushed him, right, up. But like you go to some country without visa, you are sent back. So in heaven, they right royally pushed him out also. And so because of the pressure from here and the pressure from the top, he got stuck in between, right? So they always refer to the status of Trishanku, right? So like that, will he get stuck, right? So we will stop here. Of course, I know it is like stopping at some climax and the answer has not been given by Krishna, but very nicely Krishna will explain that whatever you do, having taken this path and you have started this journey, you are only going to progress. And how, what happens, the details we will see in the next class, right?
పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః.
I am not going to be there on 10th and 17th November, so I will not be able to take classes those 2 days. On 24th November, I will be completing the 6th chapter, hopefully. And then we will have summary of 6th chapter on 1st. Okay, Hari Om. Let me just see if there are any questions here. Yeah, I think I explained meaning of నిగ్రహం అండ్ దుర్నిగ్రహం. వన్ సెకండ్, విచ్ వర్సెస్ దిస్? నిగ్రహం ఇస్ రెస్ట్రైనింగ్ అండ్ దుర్నిగ్రహం ఇస్ డిఫికల్టీ ఇన్ రెస్ట్రైనింగ్ ద మైండ్. Right? So that is the exact meaning. Right? Oh, can you explain about the Vayu? Okay. See, here in Krishna is actually comparing the mind to Vayu. Right? Saying that like Vayu, mind also cannot be restrained. But Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam writes, it is not even like Vayu. Mind is actually even worse than Vayu, because even Vayu can be restrained if you construct some walls and bring them in, etc. Bring it to some kind of a control. Mind cannot be restrained even it is even worse than Vayu when you try to restrain. So that is Shankara's additional commentary on the Gita itself. But Lord Krishna is actually comparing mind to Vayu, saying that mind is as uncontrollable as the Vayu, right? Okay. Sadhana Chatushtayam, can you please explain a little? Okay. I can definitely explain this, but you also please go through the very fifth or sixth session in Introduction to Vedanta. For a person who is pursuing moksha as the purusharta, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti becomes a prerequisite. And sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is nothing but viveka, vairagyam, shamadhi shatka sampatti and mumukshutvam. Right? Vivekaha is knowing the difference between the permanent and the impermanent. Right? And vairagyam is knowing that the goal is the permanent one, and having a detachment towards all other ephemeral goals in this world, right? That is vairagyam. Shamadhi shatka sampatti is the sixfold discipline, like sense organ discipline, mental mind discipline, right? Then quietude of the mind. Then you have Shraddha, faith, shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, shraddha, what am I missing? Samatvam, right? Six of them. Shamadhi shatka sampatti is a sixfold discipline. And then titiksha. Titiksha is endurance. So, and then mumukshutvam is the fourth one, which is intense desire for moksha. These four are the prerequisites for a person pursuing spiritual journey. Right, in order to proceed on jnana yoga and achieve moksha. So Shobha, if you can, please do go through the entire recording on this particular aspect, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. I think it should be class 5 or class 6 of Introduction to Vedanta, right? And I'm also going to see if anybody has raised their hands here. Yeah, Gina has a question, I think. Go ahead, Gina. Okay. Manish doesn't have a question. Okay, we don't have any hands up here, and let me just check the questions once again. Any questions here? No. Thank you then. I do know that the US timings have changed. Very sorry, I should have reminded all of you. Hari Om, and we will meet on 24th November, 8:25 p.m. IST. Dhanyavada.